Thank you guys for the lunch. Appreciate being up here with you today. Got to know some of you a little better. And still trying to figure out who some are. But if you will, turn with me to back to the book of 3 John. When Brother Gunnels called me in Sunday school and both services in 3 days. I'll be honest with you. I'm a last minute. I meditate. I think. I pray. And so I'm usually not writing up to close to the last minute anyway when it's all said and done. But to come, I say to come up. But for the study, to be able to, I know the thoughts I want to get across, but it's hard sometimes. It's hard not to be redundant in my preaching. It's hard to sometimes, I think, did I really get across what I felt that I studied to get across? And at the end of the day, God is sovereign in even that. And I realize that. I recognize I have a responsibility to study, and I do. But God's word will not return void unto him. Amen. And I believe that. I have full confidence in that. Just like the two lessons this morning with Sunday school, really, again, dealing with, we should be lovers of people. You know, we don't get to come to 2020 and just say, you know what, I'm done with people. God hasn't called us to be that way. With all of the thorns, as Brother Brian, forgive me, brother, as our brother said in devotion this morning, and I don't know why I called you Brian. But anyway, we have to go on. The work of the Lord still has to be done. You know, God's work is important. We looked at the positive side of 3 John today. And I didn't even go into 1 and 2 John where I actually had written down the scriptures that he dealt with concerning love. But love is so important. Love is a good thing. It's okay. It's okay to be affectionate. We should be affectionate to one to another. We need each other. You know, there's times we can get to the place in our life, and I've certainly been there more than once, where you just feel, you know, it's just, I just want to be away. We need each other. We need each other. We need to care for each other. We need to love each other. We need to pray for one another. So as we come to 3 John, probably the more familiar part of the story. And before I even, because I don't want to forget this, I want you to notice verse 11. And then we're going to back up. We're going to consider this afternoon, some would say, well, that's a negative message. And it very well may be, but it's a needed message. The title of my message is The Enemies of the Lord's Church. The enemies of the Lord's church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth today still isn't on the internet. The pillar and the ground of the truth is in the Lord's church. The pillar and the ground of the truth isn't found by famous authors. The pillar and the ground of the truth is still found today in the Lord's church. The Lord's church, the Lord gave his life for his church. There's no other institution upon this earth that Jesus Christ gave his life for than this church, than his church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is being built by Jesus. He's not done. He said, I will build my church. And he's still doing that. It may not look like we think his church should look like. Maybe we think his church, because I know the world thinks, well, if you guys are really the Lord's church, why isn't your parking lot filled? Why isn't more people coming? Why isn't your buildings more glamorous? Why this and why that? And so on and so forth. But you either, if you're a member of, let's say, Home Baptist Church, for me, Faith Baptist Church in Wasion. If I'm a member there, and I just didn't join, but I truly believe that God added me there, I need to have the confidence, according to Scripture, that I do believe that is the Lord's church. And I wholeheartedly do. And you know, I want to say this and make this clear. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I don't want to be like Peter and say, well, I would never do this. Well, I would never do that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we don't know what we will do or what we would do. It's because of His grace. Please, I don't want to come across as self-righteous. But I would say, and probably if there's one verse that could sum up of so much, at least in Sunday morning and this lesson now, is found in verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. If you get nothing else from me coming up here and preaching, know that that's found in Scripture. Even in 2020, don't follow that which is evil. Follow that which is good. And again, this thought has been on my mind for not just 2020, but really back more so into last year. I look at of examples that I have, and I'm not going to name them. But I have examples of preachers. You know, a lot of people like to talk about, and we do, we talk about the pastors and the preachers that have gone on, and we should. They were great examples. But there's still pastors that are still living today that were around when I was young. They're still preaching the same things. They're still teaching the same things. And they're still great examples. As I look out at this congregation, I see people I didn't really know much about them. I think of the brother back in the sound booth. I can always remember him there. And Brother Charlie. I know my dad thought a lot of Brother Charlie. And different ones. And not just at Home Baptist Church. Every church where I go to. Churches where there may be a handful of people. I think of this lady that has passed on. It might be maybe just your parents went to church there. But up in Frankfort, a lady by the name of Sister Pace. She was up in her 80s, maybe older than that. And I can remember her walking in the snow to church. I have those memories. Follow that which is good. We need not to be ignorant. The Lord's churches have enemies. Some of the enemies are from without. But there's some that are right from within. The Apostle Paul told them in Acts chapter 20. He knew. He says, after I depart, grievous wolves are going to rise from among you, not sparing the flock. We can't bury our heads in the sands and pretend like we have no enemies among our churches, because we do. They're active. They're lively. They're bold, they're sneaky, they're conniving, they're manipulative, they're seductive. You find these things in Scripture. You find these things in Scripture. And I just want to say, we come to the gentleman here we find in Diotrephes. Notice verse 9. The first 8 verses of 3 John, so positive. That's what you and I really need to soak in, and we need to have that love for one another. I would also say, not only do we need to have that love for one another, we need to give each other a little bit of grace. We need to be gracious with one another. Maybe nobody else here is like this. I'm sure you probably are. Sometimes I find the Pharisaical flesh coming out in me. And I find that I have a critical spirit. And I never want to be that way. Because I'm reminded of that scripture where it talks about he that's without stone, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. I think of that so much in my life. Again, I'm not saying we should justify sin. But I want us to notice. You say, Scott, you did a lot of rambling. Well, get this. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Yeah, but again, it goes back to my lesson this morning. Yeah, but this person always goes to church. I mean, man, they're at every Bible conference. Well, they're everywhere. They're certainly spiritual. Okay? Do the fruits, do their works line up with Scripture? Or are they just a little bit off? Because we have a man here we find, and it isn't unique to the Lord's churches. We see here in 3 John, it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. The Lord's church is not about a man. Never has been. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about a man. It's not about a hierarchy. It's not about a family that was there when it started. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not even about the charter members. It's about Jesus Christ. What did John the Baptist have to do? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was sent from God. And he was the baptizer. He preached. I mean, he was the preeminent one, if you could say. He was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. What did John the Baptist have to do? He says, I must decrease. The church isn't about a man. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to get a hold of that. So we come across the fact that we come across this man who loved to have the preeminence. And not only do they love to have the preeminence, they're very bold in it. But church wasn't about Diotrephes. Church isn't about Scott Johnson. Church isn't about you. If I love my church wouldn't miss a beat because it would be the Lord that had placed the people together. I have such a burden. Maybe because I was raised in a pastor's home and I've seen a lot of things. Maybe just experiences of preaching to churches over 25 years and being a member of the church for that long. But I love the Lord's church. Am I the member that I should always be? Absolutely not. I strive. I strive to be a member that's a blessing. And I think those of you here do as well. But it says, wherefore, in verse 10, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content, neither doeth himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casting them out of the church. He was evil. Don't follow this guy. Don't follow that pattern. First of all, just have four thoughts. And again, I hope the Lord will use these thoughts. Don't align yourself. Don't give place to the enemies of the Lord's church. Don't align yourself with them. I'm going to be just frank. Something very troubling to me, the trend of gossip that we have today. You don't have to have a social media account to be someone who gossips. You don't have to. We live in a world where it just seems like people thrive on bad news. People thrive when other people are doing horrific things or suffering. What should our demeanor be? What did Jesus teach us? how much did Jesus really speak in as far as idle talk? Don't align yourselves with those that want to do the church harm. Sometimes the best thing to do is remove yourself. Don't let them talk to you. Don't let them put poison in your ear. And just remove yourself. I want to notice some scriptures. Go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And verse 10. You know, I don't think we appreciate how serious this is when the Lord says to us, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Talking about His church. But that isn't a promise that Faith Baptist Church in Wasion is always going to be there. I mean, we're thriving. We were talking, some of us, and you look at this church and you guys pretty much are where our church stops age-wise. You know, we're everybody's pretty much younger. Not everybody, but most of our church is younger than me. We come here and everybody's kind of, I mean, you have some younger ones as we have older ones, but, you know, we have no guarantee just because we're young and we're many or vice versa that we're always going to be here. We have to protect the church that the Lord has placed us in. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision," the Jews. I mean, the New Testament is full of the Jewish, the Pharisees, constantly stirring the pot and pushing their false doctrine. In fact, they're the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says, "There's many unruly and vain talkers whose mouths must be stopped, and subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies.' This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." There may come a situation in your life where someone is running your church down. Help us to be able to deal with it as God would have us to deal with it. Help us. We need to have the right, we need to have the boldness to take a stand. Notice Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. I really believe the Lord's church is precious. I believe we should protect the Lord's church. Proverbs 22, and this doesn't just refer to this, but this is good instruction in general. "Make no friendship with an angry man." You know, yeah, 2020, there's a lot of angry people. But I've known people throughout my life that were just angry. And it affected the way that they were. "Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Someone that doesn't have anything nice to say. Someone that's always just ready to be angry and upset about something. Don't go with them. Don't learn their ways and get a snare to your soul. And there's a lot of that in churches. Even church members, there's a lot of that. Don't align yourself. We shouldn't align ourselves with them. Kind of the same vein of thought, but second of all, enemies of the Lord's church use their tongue. Go to James chapter 3, the book of James chapter 3. And I feel the need to say this. Scott, why did you come up here and preach this message? Well, it's been on my heart for a long time. I know nothing about Home Baptist Church. When I say nothing, that doesn't mean I don't know nothing, but I don't know the ins and the outs of your church and your membership things. But this is the message the Lord gave me. Amen. And I would follow that up with, I think it's a message that's very much needed. May not be needed here at Home Baptist Church at all, but if you took churches, independent Baptist churches across the board and put us together, we need this message. We need to protect what we have left. And I say that God is sovereign. He removes, He places in, but we need to protect the Lord's church. It shouldn't just be a little insignificant part of our life. It's what we're supposed to build our lives upon. So, in James chapter 3, in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And that is so true. And the tongue is used often against the Lord's people and against the Lord's church. Notice verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. You know, troubling trend. God doesn't like slander. And there's been a troubling trend. I see people sharing things and I think, I wonder if they know that's true about this person or that person, or they just don't like them. People ought to see that we bless God, but then not turn around the next breath and curse men. Therewith we bless God and curse men. I don't want to be known as someone that's always got a problem with somebody. There's a lot of people I may not understand, and I think they're evil, but you know what? I'm going to leave them with the Lord and let the Lord deal with them. That's not my job to try to straighten them out or take care of them. Just going to leave. There's some things we have to leave with the Lord. And I would top that statement off by this. Do we want that person to be saved? I was talking to somebody. They weren't Baptist, and we were having a conversation. And she made this statement, and I thought about it. Well, she's not Baptist, so the statement couldn't be right. No, I don't believe that. She made this statement. She goes, you know, sometimes we got to win the people's hearts. Now, I know you can only go so far with that. God is sovereign, but we shouldn't be so cold and so callous as to think that we can treat people like dirt, and then He's going to turn around and use us in the salvation of their soul. People should know, even though we may disagree with them, that we still have some decency and respect about us, regardless of who they are. You know, you could talk about some of the most wicked people. Our desire should be the Lord save them, save their soul. The Lord tells us, in the New Testament, I'm getting off track here just a little bit. Give me a minute. He tells us to pray for all men. You're not going to find anywhere in the Scriptures, I don't care if every person you know does it, you won't find anywhere in the Scriptures where the Lord tells us to rail on all men, which is so prevalent in the day and age in which we live among God's people. You won't find it. I may be the only one that has said that, but you will not find it in the Bible. And it's done much damage. We're not to rail on all people. We're to pray for all men. Well, what are we supposed to do with the wicked? Leave them to God. And remember, that's where we were. That's where we were before the Lord saved our soul. But it's such a troubling thing Out of the mouth, same mouth, proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. That's not my words, that's God's words. He had him write this. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Do a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter? Notice verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. And it talks about verse 14. I'm building up to something. Follow me if you would. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every good work. That's the evil. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but notice this next. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Notice the second thing. Then peaceable. Oh, I don't want to be peaceable. If I'm peaceable, people think they're getting over on me. They'll think I'm weak. Jesus was peaceable. What else was Jesus? He was gentle. Jesus was quiet. You know, I've come to the place at the age of 48 years old, the wisest people I know never give advice. As crazy as that may sound. Some of the wisest people I know, I'm not saying it's wrong to give advice, but they're not the ones always out there saying, hey, I got all the answers. In fact, the Bible says that people will actually draw wisdom out from people. We need to be peaceable. We need to be gentle. We need to have good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. These things that I just mentioned here, the tongue. The tongue is a great weapon and is being used against the Lord's churches. I would go farther than that and say the tongue is being used against the Lord's pastors. You know, I'm a church member. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm a church member just like you. The thought of pastoring scares me to death. I feel bad. I have great respect. You know, it's easy to come and preach a sermon and have a meal and go back home and go about my business. But I have much respect for God's men today in 2020 in the pulpits they have to stand in and be ready to preach day in, day out. We need to pray for them. We need to support them. We need to lift them up. Again, I don't speak as an ordained man. I speak as a church member who God has called to preach as I have opportunity. We need to pray for them. We need to be a support. They use their tongue. Pretty much, so they use their tongue. Don't align yourself with those. Gossip. And I do want to look at this subject. I think it needs to be looked at. Just one passage, 2 Thessalonians 3. And if you were looking for a pretty A, B, C, D, E outline today, you're not going to get that. But I think you'll still get the message. I trust that you will. I've taken you to scriptures. A, B, C, D, E. Sometimes is appropriate. But I want you to notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 5. I wish I could take, I really do, I'm not just saying this. I wish I could take every sinner that I was trying to influence to come to church and take them to the life of the Apostle Paul. Well, why? He wasn't perfect. No, he wasn't perfect. But he lived a life that was so just. He lived a life that was so, not just he suffered many things, he lived such a life of such good behavior. But he didn't just live that, he taught that. It wasn't a life that just the Apostle Paul was supposed to live. It wasn't a life that Jesus Christ was just supposed to live. It's a life that you and I are supposed to live. Notice in his behavior found here in verse 6. He says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly." Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about church members. Talking about discipline. He's talking about withdrawing yourself from those that walk disorderly. And not after the tradition which ye have received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Next time someone that professes faith in Christ, maybe they have for years, and you see something, hear something come out of their mouth that, wow, you scratch your head and say, wow. Go back to this scripture and get back to the pattern, because that's not right. We need to look at the Word of God. He did not behave himself disorderly. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Now, go down to verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Busybodies. Well, we don't have a problem with that in 2020. I would say we probably have an all-time high problem with that today. One of the greatest problems is too much time on our hands. You mix that up with social media and it's a disaster. Everybody knows everybody's business, and I like social media. Don't misunderstand me. But at the same time, it can be abused. Gossip. Busybodies. Last of all, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Some other enemies of the Lord's church is those that love to philosophize. They love to talk about spiritual things. They love to talk about deep spiritual things that we don't have the answers to. You know, we don't know everything. There's some things. I'll give you an example. I believe in the doctrines of grace. I believe God chose some unto salvation. I do believe that. But do I understand everything about it? No, I don't. Am I going to try to analyze every single detail of it? No, that's not for me to do. Philosophers, if you read in the New Testament, as we're going to, Paul warns Timothy, stay away from these guys that want to do this stuff. They want to bring about questions that have no answers. Whether it's to make themselves seem smarter, seem more superior, whatever the case may be, Paul says, don't do that. And he doesn't just say it just once. It's throughout the scriptures that he warns of that. And it's not just at church. Sometimes it's out in the world. What I have found when people, it works for me, the Lord has helped me, when people want to talk about religion, and I have found this out. I've been a member of a Baptist church for 25 years. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's some people that never go to church that know their Bible better than me. That might be a surprise to you. But there's people that don't go to church that know the Bible. Now, they don't know it like we do because the Spirit of God hasn't revealed things to them. But sometimes they'll ask questions that are hard to understand. Somebody asked me that the other day. I said, that's above me. I don't know. But one thing I found that I could do with talking to people of the world is simply this. What is your favorite Bible scripture? When they want to take you down a road, and I know I'm straying again, forgive me. But when they want to take you down a road of why you do or don't do something that doesn't make sense to them because of their faith, I'll just turn it back upon the Lord. Just turn it back upon His Word. If you want to talk religion, we got to stay with the Bible. What's your favorite Bible verse? Because most people went to church, most people went to Sunday school, and then that opens up to talk about God's Word. All right. Sorry for that tangent and getting off track there. Titus 3, verses 8 and 9. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions. Have you ever met someone, maybe they were visiting your church? Maybe it was a member they just always want to talk about things nobody had answers to. It's okay not to have the answers to everything, because we don't. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. And this is not the only place that you find this. Enemies of the Lord's church. Man, I wish I could have outlined this message so better. I wish I could have had a takeoff point where it was so smooth transition and then a landing to drop. Here's the message. The Lord's church should be precious to us. The Lord gave His life for His church. His church in 2020 is not obsolete. It is still going to go forward. It's going to go forward with or without me, but the Lord's church is going to go forward. And it's going to be here when He returns. And I would say this. Just being a member of a church, just having your name on a church roll, even if you're saved, but just having your name on the church roll and not really being engaged, not really making an effort. Maybe if I come to church, but I put no thought into it, I put no preparation into it. And then when the pastor stands up and we have these things that need to get done, and we have these and these, why? I'm too old. I can't do that. When I'm too young, I can't. I'm too busy. That's where we're at today. Nobody has time. We have time to do exactly everything we want to do. But when it comes to the Lord's house, was it Nehemiah's day? They had one hand with a weapon in it, and another hand they were building the wall? Yes. Again, I'm getting off track of here, but yes, we're in the middle of a pandemic. But we don't just throw our hands up and say the Lord's work's going to wait. Right. No, it's the most important thing about our life. We need to fight. We need to protect. We need to pray for. We need to pray for our church. And I would tell you this. Our church, pretty much every time our pastor stands in the pulpit and gives us announcements, he doesn't announce per se by name, but he always says, pray for our brethren that are in the world. And we do. And we hope that people pray for us, because we need prayer too. But we need to fight. We need to protect. You may have to stand up to some of the enemies of the Lord's church and use wisdom. We need to pray. I have family members. I desire to see the Lord saved. I desire everyone that I know become saved. I desire everyone I know to become a member of the Lord's church. Amen. But the fact is, they may not be. I'm still going to love them. I'm still going to be kind to them. I'm still going to show them respect and so forth. So it's a blessing to be here. Again, I wish I had a softer, if you'd say, landing and that perfect. I don't. That's the message the Lord has given me. On the way up here, I was so discouraged with this. And I prayed. And I just come to the realization, I'm going to preach this message and then I won't be done. So I will say, as I did this morning, if you're here, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is, there's no other man that's going to fix the mess that we're in. In fact, I don't think it's going to get fixed. I'm sorry. Jesus is what we need to be looking for. Follow that which is good. Jesus is good. We're sinful, but Jesus is good. If you're here and you've never been saved, I lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't lift up a church. You don't need to be a member of a church. Eventually, if the Lord adds you, your greatest need is you need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I do. I thank you guys for your attention today. Thank you for extending the call. I haven't preached in a year, and it may be 5 years before I preach again. I don't know. God knows. But I'm content. I do as the Lord leads and allows. So I pray God's blessings upon you, and I ask you to pray for us as well. Brother, I turn it back over to you.